If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn with us, if you would, book of 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And we are going to be dealing with a subject tonight that has already been mentioned. And I've kindly wrestled about this ever since the Lord put it on my heart. But I hope you don't misunderstand what the Lord's put in my heart. By the time I get done tonight, we're going to be dealing with discouragement, but I'm going to look at it in a little bit different light, and I hope that it's not a, I hope you don't misunderstand. We're not trying to add to the discouragement. We're trying to help you. Amen. But I really believe this is where the Lord have us to be tonight, and you pray for us. We just try to follow His lead and see what the Lord does with it. Amen. Speak of 1 Kings chapter number 18, where we're going to take up reading tonight. I know you're familiar with the text. As a matter of fact, the text is where Elijah has called out the worship of Baal, and they are in the midst of having the showdown on Mount Carmel. Y'all remember the story, I'm sure. Prophets of Baal have already tried to pray down fire. They've tried to get Baal to answer as by fire. And y'all remember nothing happened. They even jumped on the altar and tore down the altar. It came time for Elijah's turn. He had to repair the altar, had them to soak the water upon the sacrifice, around the sacrifice, in the ditch. Y'all remember how God answered, all right? That's where we're going to take up reading, kindly in the midst or even toward the latter end of the big story. But let's see what the Bible says. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I'm going to begin reading verse number 37. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Begin in verse number 37. The Bible said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" Keep verse number 39 in mind as we continue reading. Verse 40 says, "And Elijah said unto them, 'Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape.' And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, 'Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again seven times.' And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand.' And he said, 'Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab," chapter 19, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meola, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've given us to come this way tonight. I want to thank you for all the hard work and all the effort, all the prayers, all the money that's already been put into this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come this way. Thank you for the missionaries that are here. Lord, I want to thank you for Midway Baptist Church. Thank you for each member. Thank you for Brother Harold and his family. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless all the effort, Lord, with your presence in these services. We sure do stand in great need of you and ask you to help us. And Lord, please do what only God can do. Lord, I do want to ask you, if you would, just one more time, God, anoint me afresh tonight. Lord, please give me liberty to preach, and whatever's done and Lord, whatever's accomplished, we'll try our best to thank you for it. Lord, to praise you and give you the glory for anything accomplished. Lord, for it's in Christ's precious and holy name that we do pray, and amen. I've already told you tonight kindly what we're going to be looking at for a little bit this evening, and that is discouragement. Now, I'm pretty sure that probably everybody in here tonight has dealt with discouragement. Some more than others. Understand that. It seems like some deal with it all the time, then some only deal with it part of the time. But regardless of how often it comes, it's still something that we have dealt with, or something that has dealt with us. Amen. Discouragement. Man, I wish we could get through this life and not ever have to deal with it, don't you? There are some people, I don't know if it's personality, I don't know if it's their skill or their ability to hide it, But there are some people that seems like they're just bubbly all the time and never deal with it. You probably know somebody that kindly fits that category, but I still believe they deal with it. Maybe they just hiding it good, or maybe you're just not around them while they're dealing with it, but I still believe they deal with it. I began to think about this, and I went through the scriptures, and then I went through history and tried to remember some of those that were known to deal with it. Of course, we see here in our text, Elijah is pretty well known for dealing with discouragement. He crawls up and under a juniper tree and asks to die. I mean, that's pretty low. You just have to admit that that's pretty low. And you can go on through the text, and there's others. And one of my heroes made a statement one time, Brother Harold, and I wouldn't mention his name by no means on this part anyway, but he made a statement about the Apostle Paul. And he's still my hero, by the way. But he said he didn't believe the Apostle Paul ever got discouraged. Well, there's some scripture popped in my mind just like that. And I'm not trying to go against what he said, but the Apostle Paul was telling us how it was when he got into Macedonia as a missionary. And he talks about what he was dealing with. And then he refers to Titus coming to where he was. And here's what the Apostle Paul said, that the Lord comforted him when he was cast down. Now, I don't know about you, but I would consider being cast down a description of discouragement. Wouldn't you? I mean, cast down. The Apostle Paul was even cast down. History will tell you that Charles Haddon Spurgeon dealt with discouragement. Some even say depression. I had the privilege to spend some time in the UK, and I went to William Cowper's house. Have you ever heard of, surely you've heard of William Cowper. Maybe you've heard of him, just don't know who he was. There is a fountain. You've heard that song before. You've sung that song. William Cowper was the one that penned those words down. John Newton, I know you've heard of that name before. John Newton was the one that penned down Amazing Grace. I'm told probably William Cowper more so than John Newton, but they were next door neighbors. They lived beside each other. They had a little smokehouse. Now in those days, I don't know if it was looked at the same, but about everybody smoked a pipe in those days. You'll find out Charles Haddon Spurgeon smoked a pipe. And I think later on he quit and even apologized. Anyway, William Cowper and John Newton used to meet out in that smokehouse. Just a little, I'm talking about a small hut, barely big enough for two people to sit in. And they would meet out there in that smokehouse, and they would fellowship, and they would write. William Cowper didn't just write, "There is a fountain." He wrote poems. Matter of fact, I've got an old book of William Cowper's poems. And very well known for his writing, John Newton, of course, wrote. And William Cowper, when we visited there, it was kind of strange. They didn't tell us at first, but there were rabbits running everywhere in the house and outside the house. Rabbits everywhere. I didn't think nothing about it. Peter Rabbit, if you know anything about Peter Rabbit, was from that area. So I just associated Peter Rabbit with that. But come to find out, William Cowper kept rabbits. They said it helped him with his discouragement or his depression. He dealt with it greatly. Great men and women, by the way, have dealt with discouragement. I'm talking about great men and great women have. And just because you may deal with discouragement does not mean that you're subpar or you're anything less than anybody else. It's just something that this flesh deals with. Matter of fact, I think it's a pretty good tool of the devil. I believe it is. Discouragement is definite. I mean, if you're here tonight and you've never dealt with it, see me after church. I'd just like to talk to you a few minutes. That's all. I'm not trying to be critical or anything of that nature. But if you've never dealt with it, I really would like to talk to you. See if you've got a secret or see if you've got a, I don't know. I'm being serious. I'd like to know. Because about everybody I know has dealt with it. They may even take it a step farther and call it depression. But about everybody I know have had their times with it, their bouts with it, their struggles with it. It's almost, I would say, definite. It's coming. In this day and time that we're living in, I don't mean to be too negative here, but it may come more around more than often. I don't know. Struggles of life kind of brings that discouragement. I don't know if you're driving a diesel and you pull into the gas station, you're dealing with discouragement. Amen. You don't even have to be driving a diesel. You're still dealing with discouragement. If you're watching the news, you're dealing with discouragement. Now, there's some of these ways we can avoid, so I turned the news off a long time ago. Amen. If you're concerned, if you love America, you're dealing with discouragement. Amen. My heart breaks tonight over my country. So in this day and time, we may deal with it more than usual. I'm not real sure, but it's a looking like that. There's a falling away in our country. You'll admit that. If you love the Lord, you're going to be discouraged by watching the church and watching our country spiritually. It's discouraging. Amen. You're going to be dealing with discouragement. It's definite. But then let me say this about discouragement. It's distractive. If the devil can get you distracted with discouragement, it's really hard to focus on what you're needing to be focused on. Really, really hard. It's definite. It's distracting. It can be destructive. It can be. You probably know somebody that dealt with it. Call it depression. Call it whatever you will. But I know some that didn't just pray and ask to die. We know somebody. Or you've heard of somebody that went as far as taking their own life. If you don't deal with it much, just be thankful. And don't point your finger and don't look down your long nose at somebody that does. Just be thankful. Worship the Lord. Pray for them that does. Amen. Can be destructive. But it don't have to be definitive. It don't have to define you. I really believe you can have victory over it. It may come and go, but yes, you can have victory over discouragement, over depression even. Don't let it define you. With those things in mind, I want to go back to our text now and let's look at Elijah for just a little while. And here's the thought. Here's where I'm worried that you might misunderstand me. But what I'm wanting to preach on tonight, what I feel led, I believe this is what God wants us to look at. I want to look at the dangers of discouragement. The dangers of discouragement. Put a guard up. Do whatever it takes to get out of it, to stay away from it. Say, preacher, how? Listen, I'm not sitting down and writing no how-to book. I'm not shooting a video tonight and putting it on YouTube and how to escape or how to dodge this. I can't. But I'm just telling you, better find some way that you can get out of it and dodge it if you can. David dealt with discouragement. We're going to have to find a way to encourage ourselves in the Lord. That's what we're going to have to do. Because I'm telling you, with discouragement's going to come some things that may not have a good outcome. May not. As we look at Elijah tonight, would you pray for us? As I looked at Elijah, I noticed three things real quickly about the text. Elijah goes from the mountaintop, literally, to the bottom under a juniper tree in just a few verses. It didn't take long. And so I thought, what was it that triggered this discouragement? What happened? What can we relate it to? And I'll say, first of all, I'll say this. Discouragement came after a powerful experience in the life of Elijah. Powerful experience. He boldly called out the prophets of Baal. He has challenged them to a showdown, if you will, on Mount Carmel. They have met up there. The prophets of Baal done all they could do to try to get their God to answer as by fire. Nothing happened. Elijah, under the hand of God, but with mighty boldness, stands there and mocks them as they're trying to get Baal to answer by fire. I mean, can't you see him? He's kicked back with his arms crossed, and he's literally mocking them. Hey, maybe y'all need to cry a little louder. Maybe Baal's hard of hearing. Amen. I mean, he's bold. And then it come time for the evening sacrifice. He repairs the altar. He boldly tells them to soak that sacrifice down with water and fill up the trench that's around the altar. I mean, listen. They didn't put gasoline in there. They put water in there. God don't need no help. Amen? So they put water around that thing, soaked that sacrifice down, prayed that short prayer, and a fire fell from heaven. You can't tell me that's not a powerful experience. He's now had all those prophets of Baal killed. Major, major. Sometimes it's after those good experiences, those powerful experiences, when depression will come or discouragement will come at its strongest. I don't know if we get caught up on the mountaintop experience and maybe we let our guard down. I'm really not sure why that is, but a lot of times after a victory, after something wonderful, after something powerful, look out. Discouragement may be right around the corner. Elijah's discouragement came after a powerful experience. And I saw this as well. Elijah's discouragement also came after personal exhaustion or physical exhaustion. Did y'all catch what he did when that rain began to fall? He's on Mount Carmel and he runs, verse 46, the last verse of chapter 18. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I did have jotted down, I don't remember exactly how far that was, but it was a long ways. He ran before Ahab's in a chariot, and Elijah runs. I know the hand of the Lord was upon him, but he's still a man, flesh and blood, just like me and you. And a spiritual experience within itself can be exhausting, but physically running, he's exhausted. I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. Y'all know how exhausting ministry can be. Work, ministry, whatever it might be. Rest is highly important. It really is. Missionaries especially, you don't want a service that you don't have a meeting. It don't matter if you're raising support as a church planner or in full-time evangelism. Everybody'd like to have a calendar full. And you labor at trying to get that calendar full. I know it's God, but y'all know what I mean. Especially on deputation, you're making phone calls one right after another and you're hoping to book a meeting. And you won't turn one down because it's 5 hours on a Sunday night away from where you are on Sunday morning. You need that meeting. You ain't going to turn it down. If at all possible, if you think you can squeeze it in and even break the law, you'll take it. You'll take it. I closed to my genius at work. I closed out a meeting on a Friday night in South Mississippi. I'm talking about all the way down to the Gulf Coast. And had to preach Sunday morning in Charlottesville, Virginia. I know I had a day in between, but my word, I needed 2 days in between. You'll do it. And you run and you run and you run. And you can't tell me it don't get exhausting. I'm kindly focusing on these missionaries. But hey, church folk, you're working your job, you're working around the house. I mean, this time of year, the grass growing faster than you can keep it cut. And you don't want to lay out of church. You don't want to miss church. So you try to get all that done, get your job done, run home, get the mowing done, run to the house of God. Ever how you slice it, it gets exhausting. Life can just be exhausting. Elijah's discouragement came after a powerful experience, after physical exhaustion. And then I also saw this. Elijah's discouragement came with a perceived encounter. What do you mean, preacher? Ahab, bless his heart, his feelings are hurt. He runs back to Jezebel. Oh, mama, let me tell you what Elijah did. Jezebel sent word to Elijah. By this time tomorrow, I'm going to make you just like one of them prophets of Baal. In other words, I'm going to kill you for this time tomorrow. Man, he boldly mocked them prophets of Baal. He boldly called them out up there on Mount Carmel. He boldly had them all killed. And now, one wicked woman has just sent a message to him. And he melts. I want to show you this. I circled it in my Bible. Chapter 19, verse 3. Verse 2, she sends that messenger to him. So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Look at verse 3. And when he saw that. Didn't say when he heard that. When he saw that. You know what he saw? He saw Jezebel killing him. He saw that. He done seen that in his mind. I'm telling you, a lot of us are getting discouraged over things that probably won't even happen, but we see it in our mind. Perceived encounter. We worry that this is going to happen. We worry that that's going to happen. We keep our nerves all tore up. We stay discouraged and depressed because we're afraid that might happen. 99% of that stuff that we're afraid might happen usually don't. When he saw that, not heard that, but when he saw that, there was a perceived encounter. Now I'm going to give you my heart tonight. The dangers of discouragement. When Elijah, and I can't fault him, because I do it too. But when Elijah fell to his discouragement, three things happened. Number one, the opposition was magnified. Oh, please get a hold of that. The opposition, not God. The opposition was magnified. When he turned tail and ran and crawls up under that juniper tree, it's Jezebel is the one that looks like she's the strongest. She's the one to be feared. She's the one to hide from. Jezebel is magnified in the fact that Elijah has fallen under this discouragement. And again, I can't hardly fault him. I'm trying to help us tonight, give us a little warning that if we let discouragement continue, or if we let discouragement overtake us, then the opposition is going to be magnified. Got to be careful. The opposition was magnified. When Elijah fell to his discouragement, others were misled. Where's our leader at? The one that was standing strong on Mount Carmel. The one that boldly made fun of those prophets of Baal and had them all slain. Where is he at? Others are. Listen to me. I start to say especially missionaries, but church too. Y'all got people watching you. And you're going to get up and preach that Jesus is all powerful, that God's almighty and all knowing, and you're a follower of him, and he's your God, and he meets your needs, and he always supplies, he always comes through, he's heard your messages, he's heard them songs you're singing, and they're watching you. And if God is all of that, why are you turning tail for? Why are you crawling up and under a juniper tree wondering how you're going to pay your bills if God is always supplying? I hope you're with me tonight. I wished I had the magic antidote to keep you out of it, or get you out of it, or keep it away. I don't have. I'm just trying to give us a warning. There's some dangers that are associated with discouragement. Maybe we'll just fight it harder. Amen. The opposition is magnified. Others are misled. Watch this one. Opportunities are missed. Got your Bible open, go to chapter 18. Let's back up. I said, remember verse number 39. Verse number 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Man, what an experience. And consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, how many of them? All of them. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. You know what they're ready for? They're ready for national revival right here. They have been revealed that Baal is a phony. The Lord, he is the God. They have fell on their faces. They're crying out. They're admitting the Lord, he is the God. All they need is somebody to take charge, to somebody to lead forward, and revival is on the brink. Man. But just as the people got ready for revival, help us, Lord, their spiritual leader has turned tail and running away in fear and crawling up and under a juniper tree begging to die. It sounds like I'm preaching negative against your Bible hero, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he's my Bible hero too. I love Elijah. And if Elijah's going to deal with it, woe is me. Only God knows what could have happened. You say, preacher, it It's His will. It must be Him. But I'm telling you, if we ain't real careful, there's going to be some great opportunities missed when we turn and go in the opposite direction because we got discouraged. It's almost as if, here's what I was worried about tonight, Brother Harold. I was afraid it's going to sound like I was beating them on down a little further. I hope you ain't getting it that way. I'm trying to rally us. I'm trying to charge us. Whatever we got to do, remind us maybe. We are on the winning side. Amen. Yes, things look bleak from time to time. And yes, it don't go our way. And yes, we get tired and weary and we even get our feelings hurt. But I'm telling you, friend, we don't have time to get discouraged. Amen. Somebody's got to take charge. Somebody's got to preach. Somebody's got to sing. Somebody's got to shout. We got to go on for God no matter what's going on around us or in our heart or in our mind. We got to. Don't turn tail now. Don't go hide. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't wish to die now. Hey, stand up one more time strong for God in these last days and spit the devil's eye, amen, and let's go on for God. That's easier preaching than it is living. That's good preaching, but it ain't paying my bills, preacher. Has God let you down yet? Come on. I know we feel like He hadn't yet, preacher, but He's going to this time. Don't we feel that way? Lord, help me. Somebody say amen right there. I'm going to feel like I'm the only one. I don't know. We're just that way. Ain't you glad God knows our frame? He knows how we are. Puts up with us anyhow. Loves us anyhow. Helps us anyhow. Here's something. It's a totally different message. I even thought about preaching it tomorrow night. We'll see what happens. When Elijah crawled up under that juniper tree and wishes to die, there's some things Elijah found under the juniper tree. And you don't get nothing else. You know what he found when he got under the juniper tree wishing to die, throwing in the towel, ready to give up? You know what he found? He found an understanding God. God didn't rebuke him. God didn't kick him. But rather God ministered to him. Sent an angel down there. Fixed him something to eat. Told him, said, the journey's too great for thee. Hey, God understands. God cares. And God knows when we get that way. I know God could have easily brought up somebody else right there with Elijah, that if Elijah's going to crawl up under a juniper tree, God could have used somebody else. I understand. And I guess it just wasn't God's will that they had nationwide revival right there. But still runs through my mind. I wonder what could have happened. I wonder what could have happened. If he just one more time stood up boldly against Jezebel and said, bring it on. What could have happened? The people's already crying. The Lord, He is the God. Opportunities missed because of discouragement. I know you get discouraged. I get discouraged. We all get discouraged. But the devil's going to use that if we ain't real careful. Your ministry will suffer because of your discouragement. My ministry will suffer because of discouragement. I don't know, preacher. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Find some help. Yeah. Do whatever you need to do. But don't throw in the towel. Right. Don't quit. Amen. Don't take matters in your hands. Right. You get you somebody to pray for you and pray with you. Share your heart. Instead of crawling up under a juniper tree, crawl up under an altar somewhere. Or let that juniper tree become your altar. Let's don't die to it. I think I need to say it one more time. We are on the winning side. You think we're a mess now? Wait till you see us in a little while. It's going to pick up. It's going to get a whole lot better. Amen. May get a little bit worse before it gets a whole lot better. But it's going to get better for too much longer. I'll say it this way. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe the Lord's letting me preach myself a warning. If that be what it is, then Lord, help me to heed. But if you're in the same shape, I know you come in here and you've been running, and the heart of this pastor right over here is to help you. He knows it's discouraging. And this meeting is put on to help you knowing you get discouraged. They've dug a little well out here in this desert land for you to come by and get you a drink and find some rest and refreshing that you might once again charge one last time. But let's beware of the dangers that come with discouragement. Maybe that right there will help fuel us, help encourage us from crawling up under a juniper tree. Amen. Now, if that's where you're at, let God minister to you there. He knows. He understands. And He'll help you. Send you just what you need. And maybe He's going to do that these days. Well, I tell you what, let's do tonight. Let's partner up. And let's pray one for another. And let's encourage one another. You know, one of the things that's so discouraging in this day and time is the brethren. When we ought to be trying our best to help one another. We've got a bunch. I got to quit right there. We need each other. We do. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to try to encourage one another. I don't know where you're at. If you're down tonight, press on, weary pilgrim. But if you're up tonight, don't let this pass you by and just brush it off and say, well, I don't know who he's preaching to. You don't know what you're in for before the week's out. It might just be before the month's out. Well, preacher, I've never dealt with it. God bless your heart. You're special. I would like to talk to you and see how you do it. Maybe there's people like that. I hadn't met one yet, but maybe they're out there. They've never dealt with discouragement. You pray for them that has, all right. And before too much longer, we'll cut down all the juniper trees. Won't need them no more. Amen. Until then, Let's keep going.